Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And once again, we want to introduce our lesson by reading verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13. The Apostle Paul was the inspired writer. He said, "And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." In this verse, three abiding subjects are listed. Of course, faith is the first of the abiding subjects listed. Faith is a very important subject. According to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, faith is so important that we cannot please God without it. The writer of Hebrews says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So faith is so important that we cannot please God without it. But there's another abiding subject listed that we've studied. That second abiding subject is hope. Hope plays a very important role in keeping God's people saved. We learn that from Romans 8, verses 24 and 25. "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." I love to study this particular part of Romans chapter 8. It's a very inspiring section of Scripture. It contains some information that's very helpful. It relates to hope. So hope is a very important abiding subject. But then there's a third abiding subject mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13:13 that we want to study today. That third abiding subject is love. And I want you to notice that the Apostle Paul said that love is the greatest. I think we see from the Scriptures that faith is very important. We learn from the Scriptures that hope is very important. But while faith and hope play important roles in our salvation, the Apostle Paul tells us through inspiration that love is the greatest. But not only does the Bible declare to us that love is the greatest, the Bible goes further and it shows us why love is the greatest. And in our lesson, we want to point out seven reasons from the Bible why love is so great. Now, this is not a complete list. The Bible reveals a lot more information showing why love is so great. But we want to concentrate for a little while on seven reasons from the Bible why love is so great. Let's begin with our Lord's teaching. The first point that we want to make is that Jesus emphasized love in his teaching. Now that's one reason why love is so great. Jesus had a lot to say about love during his ministry. For example, in Matthew chapter 22, our Lord was confronted by someone identified as a lawyer, that is, he was one who was trained in the law of Moses. He came to our Lord with the intention of trying to find something that could be used against him. Matthew tells us that this lawyer was tempting or testing Jesus. In verse 35, this is of Matthew 22. "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying," this is the question that he asked, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Now, that's a good question. But the motive of this particular individual was not good. He was trying to find something that could be used against the Lord. He was tempting or testing Jesus. I think he far underestimated the Lord's great wisdom. "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. According to our Lord, the first and second commandments involve love. The first commandment involves loving God. The second great commandment involves loving our neighbors, that is, other people. Now, that's one reason why love is so great. Jesus said that love is involved in the two great commandments in the law. Now, to love God with all the heart, soul, and mind wraps up all of the responsibilities that we have toward God. To love our neighbors, and Jesus said that's the second great commandment, sums up all the responsibilities that we have toward others. Now, later on, we'll show that love is a comprehensive commandment, but keep that thought in mind. Loving God involves keeping all of our responsibilities that we have to God. Loving our neighbors, that sums up fulfilling our responsibilities that we have toward others. In John 13, verse 34, Jesus gave his new commandment. Now we're showing how Jesus emphasized love in his teaching. In John 13 and verse 34, Jesus showed that his new commandment involves love. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The Lord's new commandment involves love. That's one reason why love is so great. Now, the Jewish people had been commanded through the law of Moses to love their neighbors as themselves. So the command for God's people to love others was not new. But Jesus said, this commandment I'm giving to you is new. In what sense is the Lord's commandment new? He said, as I have loved you. That's what's new about the Lord's commandment. And keep in mind what had just happened. Jesus was observing the Passover meal with his disciples. On that very important occasion, and by the way, it was then that Jesus gave instructions for eating his supper in his kingdom. He gave those instructions for eating his supper so that his followers would always remember the sacrifice he was about to make. The disciples got into an argument about which one was the greatest. We learned that from Luke's account. And John tells us that Jesus washed the feet of the disciples on that occasion. In connection with that, Jesus said, I'm giving you this new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. You see, their behavior earlier showed that they did not love each other as Jesus loved them. If they did, that discussion about which one was the greatest would never have come up. But it had come up on three different occasions that we read about in the Bible. So it was a matter of great importance to the apostles. But it's interesting, after Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, you don't ever read about that discussion taking place among them. Well, I think that's very important. Jesus indicated that love is involved in his new commandment. But let's go further. Look at the very next verse, verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. The Lord's followers are to be recognized by their love for one another. Now, Jesus was about to be arrested, tried, condemned, and crucified, and then raised on the third day. He would give his disciples the Great Commission, that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, if they did not love one another as Jesus had loved them, would they be successful in carrying out the Great Commission? No, they would not. So Jesus emphasized the importance of love as he was dealing with his disciples shortly before his arrest. Well, I think we've seen from these few verses that Jesus emphasized love in his teaching. That's a reason presented to us in the Bible about why love is so great. Faith is important. Hope is important. Love is the greatest. One reason why love is so great is that Jesus placed special emphasis on it during his ministry. Well, let's look at Acts chapter 2 for just a moment before we go on to our next point. Let's look at some people who actually practiced loving God and loving one another. In the latter verses of Acts chapter 2, we are given a description of the Jerusalem congregation. Now, earlier in this chapter, we read about Peter preaching with the other apostles. He emphasized how Jesus had been crucified, but he'd been raised from the dead. The people in his audience just a short time earlier had been present when Jesus was crucified. Remember that Jesus was crucified during Passover, 50 days from the Passover Sabbath. Pentecost was observed. This is Pentecost. So less than 2 months have passed since Jesus was crucified. It was still fresh on the minds of everybody present. And Peter laid it on the line, as we say. He made it very clear what the people in his audience had done. But he showed that that was not the end of the story. God had raised him up. Well, that led to quite a response. The people wanted to know what they needed to do to be saved. And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That's in verse 38. Now let's start at verse 41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." In my mind, I've tried to picture what that was like on that very great day when 3,000 people obeyed the gospel of Christ. Their sins were washed away, and they became members of the Lord's church that was established on that very day. Prior to this, the scriptures had been looking forward to the establishment of the church, God's kingdom. Now it's in existence. Well, let's read about these people. And as we do so, they are described in a very beautiful way. You tell me if these people love God and one another. You can't help but see it. Verse 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." That's a powerful illustration given to us concerning a group of people who loved God with all their hearts, souls, and minds, and they loved one another. Well, one reason why love is so great is that Jesus emphasized it in his teaching. Let's look at a second reason why love is so great. According to Romans 13, verses 8, 9, and 10, love is what I like to call, a comprehensive commandment. Romans chapter 13, let's start at verse 8. Now, just prior to this, Paul, in this very chapter, had given our responsibilities to the government or the state. After that, he dealt with some additional matters that would help us to be the very best citizens that we could be. owe no man anything, this is Romans 13 and verse 8, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Notice that in verse 9, several individual commandments from the law of Moses are listed. And Paul included those as well as others and said they're comprehended in that one commandment. What is that one commandment? To love your neighbor as yourself. You see, it sums up all of the responsibilities that we have toward other people. That's one reason why love is so great. It's identified as a comprehensive commandment. If you love others as ourselves, then all these individual commandments will be taken care of. If a person loves his neighbor as himself, would he commit adultery? If a person loves his neighbor as himself, would he go around killing people? We have a bad problem with that today. If a person loves his neighbor as himself, would he steal? Would he bear false witness? Would he covet? No, we could go on and on and on, because the one commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself, sums up all of our individual responsibilities that we have toward other people. By the way, Jesus described for us what's involved in loving your neighbors as yourself. He gave what we call the golden rule, to treat others the way that we want to be treated. My, what a wonderful place this old world would be if everybody would just practice that one commandment. You know, having said that, when the world turns away from God, we don't advance as people. We digress. That has always been the case, and it always will be the case. But there's hope. If people return to God, things will get better. I was encouraged the other night. I didn't hear the whole report, but several men are involved in an effort to try to help people who are involved in gangs and drugs to turn to God. I thought, boy, that's radical, isn't it? That's been around for a long, long time. I had to admire those men for the efforts that they're putting forth. But you know, I know what the Bible says about nations that turn from God. Look it up in the Psalms and the Proverbs. It'll tell you very clearly. When a nation forgets God, it's bad. Well, there's hope. All we have to do is follow the Lord's commandment, and things will improve. Let's turn our attention to a third reason why love is so great. It has to do with how long it lasts. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13 and read verse 8. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. You know, I'm impressed with something that's long-lasting. A building that lasts a long time. I know something about it. It was built well. A car, an automobile that lasts a long time. I know something about it. It was built very well. I'm impressed when something is built to last. There aren't too many things that really impress me, but that's one thing that does impress me. When I see something that's built to last, that really gets my attention. Well, let's notice what the Bible has to say about love. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8 says, love never faileth. Now, those three words say a lot. Now, keep in mind that 1 Corinthians 13, although it deals at length with love, was written in context concerning the way that the church in Corinth was using its spiritual gifts. And if you look at chapters 12, 13, and 14 very carefully, you can't help but see that the Christians in Corinth were not using their gifts in the right way. They were not using them with love. There were 9 spiritual gifts. They were given to the early church for the purpose of edifying the church, also to help in the spreading of the gospel. But the Christians in Corinth were not using their gifts in a loving way. And if you look very carefully at what's written, it appears, at least, that those who had the ability to speak in tongues, at least some of them, thought that their gift was better than the others. Now, all 9 spiritual gifts were important. But those who possessed what they considered to be the lesser gifts were jealous of the ones who spoke in tongues. And you can just imagine the confusion that existed in the Corinthian church. Paul reminded them that one day spiritual gifts would come to an end. And I think he used some very powerful reasoning here. I would love to have been present the first time that this letter was read to the Corinthian church. Love never faileth. We've already read that. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Prophecy was a spiritual gift. One day that gift would come to an end. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Speaking in tongues would come to an end. Whether there be knowledge, and if you look at the 9 gifts listed in chapter 12, there are 9 of them, you'll see that supernatural knowledge was one of the gifts. It shall vanish away. Clearly, spiritual gifts would come to an end. Now, let's notice the reasoning that's being put forth here. It's already been shown that the Christians in Corinth were not using their gifts with love. One day, those gifts would come to an end. When that happened, what would remain? Jealousy. Backbiting. A feeling of superiority. On and on we could go. However, if the Christians in Corinth repented and began to use their gifts with love, when those gifts came to an end, what would remain? I think you can see it. Love never fails. That's why it's so great. That's one reason why love is so great. Let's look at a fourth reason. As we do so, let's turn to Galatians 5 and read about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Now, prior to this, the works of the flesh are listed. Those are activities that are to be avoided because those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22 begins with the word but, meaning a contrast is being made. That is, in contrast to the works of the flesh, notice the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Notice what's first on the list. It's love. Now, all of these characteristics that make up the fruit of the Spirit are important. By the way, verse 25 teaches us to live in the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. How can you tell if a person is living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit? Well, if he bears the fruit of the Spirit. That is, if he possesses these very important characteristics. But I believe the fruit of the Spirit gives us one reason why love is so great. Notice what's number one on the list. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And I believe that's another way that the Bible is teaching us that love is the greatest. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, let's start at verse 12. Now, early in this chapter, we find that those who are raised with Christ are to seek those things that are above. And then there are a number of activities listed that are to be put off. Some of them are to be mortified. These are activities that Christians are to abstain from. And then verse 12, attention is turned to some positive matters. I want you to notice what's included. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. We learn from these verses that love is the bond of perfectness. That's one reason why it's so great. Now notice that there are a number of qualities that we're to put on. Now this is in contrast to those things that are to be put off and mortified. There are some positive things that are to be put on. And I heard a preacher one time describe this in this way. I won't be able to quote him exactly. But notice it says that love is the bond of perfectness. You take all these other wonderful qualities, and then you just bind them all up with love. The bond of perfectness. Perfectness. That's one reason why love is so great. A sixth reason given to us is given to us in 2 Peter chapter 1. We pointed out a moment ago that the fruit of the Spirit begins with love. Let's notice how the Christian graces conclude. 2 Peter chapter 1, let's start at verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Notice what's last on the list. The fruit of the Spirit begins with love. The Christian graces end with love. I like to think about love as the Alpha and the Omega. Sometimes that expression is used in Scripture to refer to the beginning and the end. Why is it so important that we develop all of these graces? Well, let's let Peter tell us. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice how important it is that we develop these graces with all diligence. If we'll do that, we don't have to worry about falling. Peter says, if you give diligence to add these graces, he said, you will never fall. Is it possible for a child of God to fall? It certainly is. But There's something we can do to guard against that. Peter tells us to develop these wonderful graces with all diligence. That means put our very best effort into it. Not to approach these matters in a haphazard or a half-hearted way, rather to give all diligence. Well, let's consider a seventh reason why love is so great. Let's turn to the book of 1 John. 1 John has a lot to say about love. Let's look at a few verses in chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, let's read verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. The seventh reason why love is so great from these verses is that love is of God, and God is love. Now, I think John shows us in a powerful way in these verses why love is so great. Faith is certainly important. Hope is important. But love is the greatest. I think I've mentioned this to you before, but it's been a while. Maybe you've forgotten it. I know Teresa hasn't forgotten it. But whenever I read that verse that says that God is love, I can't help but think about a little Bible class that Teresa and another young lady taught many years ago in West Tennessee. They had one little girl in that class. She received a lot of attention. A beautiful baby. I was very close to her parents. I married them, and I baptized the little baby's mama. So they were very close to us. But I think I just got them confused with someone else. But anyway, the co-teacher with Teresa was the young lady that I had baptized. They had a little baby that couldn't talk. I mean, she was a toddler. She hadn't developed to the point where she could talk. But they would take a little New Testament and put it up next to that little baby's face. And over again, they said, God is love. And it got to the point where you could come up to the little baby and say, God is, and she would say, love. She hadn't learned to say mama and daddy yet, but that child knew from what she was being taught that God is love. That was one of the sweetest things I've ever seen in my life. I never will forget it. At least I hope I never forget it. But that's one reason why love is so great. Love is of God, and God is love. Well, three abiding subjects are listed in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13. But notice that love is the greatest. Now, we've considered seven of the many reasons given to us in the Bible about why love is so great. There are other reasons. But in addition to showing why love is the greatest, the Bible shows that we have responsibilities that have to do with love. And Lord willing, later on this afternoon, we want to consider seven of them. We've looked at seven reasons why love is so great. This evening, Lord willing, we want to look at seven responsibilities that God has given to us that have to do with love. Love is a very important subject. So is faith. So is hope. I thought it might be good for us to pay particular attention to what the Bible says about love today because of what's being observed on Tuesday, that is Valentine's Day. A lot of emphasis is placed on love. But let's be sure that we understand from the Bible just how important love is faith is special, so is hope. One day faith will become sight. Hope will become a reality. Love is the greatest because it will go on and on and on.